Moncrief on News Talk.
New research has shown that sought-after workers are being offered salary increases up to 8%, but employers are holding off on increments for most employees. So where do you start if you decide to take matters into your own hands and ask for a pay rise? I'm joined in studio by Peter Cosgrave, Future of Work expert. Good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon.
I want more money, please. Can I have some?
Absolutely. I'm Perfect. Not sure that's going to work.
That's the end of the segment. Thank you so much. How should people approach this? Because I think there's a couple of train of thoughts. It can be very stressful for people. We were talking about anxiety at the top of the show. I'm sure this is a huge source of anxiety for people. What's the gameplay? Does it depend on your situation? Does it depend on your occupation? Where do you start?
It does depend on lots of things. But the easiest way to start is not to start the day you want a pay rise, because that's not going to work very well.
So okay.
Most people get a pay rise because of the job they do or the performance targets they've hit. You can only get that pay rise if you actually have performance targets and you have objectives in place and you've talked to your manager a year in advance saying, what would I need to do to get a pay rise? You then write that down or they write it down, and then you keep every 3 months going, am I still on target? Am I still on target? And by the end of the year, it becomes a lot easier because they go, you told me all year I was on target, so where's the pay rise? Now, that's easier said than done, but that's generally the starting point where you actually put targets in place. The hard part is, a lot of people don't really know that their employers have no interest in giving them a pay rise. I know that sounds terrible, but the reality is we're expensive. So the cheaper you are, the better. So you need to do your own research and find out what you're worth.
Okay, but on the subject of research then, is it important, would you say, to know what other people are earning in your industry or your company? Because some people would argue that it's imperative, and then obviously there are others who are kind of like, it doesn't really matter, you know, that knowledge won't really help you, but surely it would.
Yeah, well, to a degree, but it's very hard for you to actually measure yourself against anyone else. You might have a feeling, I'm exactly the same as Fadula, therefore we should be on this.
Mm.
But actually, you don't know all their skills and their strengths and their background and so forth. So it's not actually the case. However, nearly all, I think the original survey came from Morgan McKinley, I think they'll have on their website a whole salary survey saying for every role, this is a years of experience and this is a salary band. The salary band is really what you want. You can't get an exact salary, but if you know I'm roughly from 38 to 45,000 and you're at 32, you're way lower in your salary band. So that's the best way to start.
Okay, so in terms of timings and when is a good time to approach it, obviously you mentioned not the first day you start, but how granular do we get? Is it like a Friday? Are Fridays generally better, or is it just kind of, is there an element of common sense that's like, okay, apply this and then maybe consider approaching the conversation?
The most standard comment is, can I have 5 minutes to your boss? And that's a boss never likes to hear that.
Yeah.
That either means you're leaving or you're looking for a pay rise generally. So you don't start with that. You start with waiting till you've done something very good that everybody's very excited about, and then you say, look, this would be a good time for me to talk maybe about getting a pay rise. But what I would generally say to them is, say to your employer and don't expect the conversation straight away. Let them sit with that, because if you walk into anybody and you ask them for something and you're like, oh my god, like I'm in the middle of something else and now you're asking me to do this, there's a bit of a panic on both sides. So you're better to say, look, I'd like to have a conversation next week. Then you provide them proof of why you should get it. You start talking about it. And if other things have gone your way, like one of your team members have left and you're probably now more in demand, that's probably in your favor. So there are definitely timing elements to it, as well as the fact, as I said, don't go in when your team's just lost a big client and things are all very negative. That is definitely not the time to look for a pay rise.
Okay, definitely not. But would there be any other examples of like bad times when you think it would be bad or not a good idea to approach the conversation?
I mean, generally, people don't like to hear this, but if a company's not doing very well, nobody's really getting a pay rise. So you might think it's unfair, and it is, but that's just the scenario that you're in, right? So that's the first thing. Secondly, I would say you're always better to do it later in the week than earlier in the week. You know, early in the week, people are kind of very busy, less time in their hands. But most importantly, you need the place to be in a nice, relaxed place, right?
Yeah.
Whoever you're talking to. And as I said, not only do you probably need to know your boss, you probably, the best thing is to know your boss's boss, because the boss's boss is really the person who says, oh, this person's great. And they're more likely to kind of talk about you as well to your boss. So I think the more people you know, the better your network in terms of other people talking about you, the better.
Well, I was going to say, so others advocating for you, that can help, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds a bit sneaky, but honestly, getting other people every now and then to drop in, just Fanula did a great job there. Did you see that?
Oh, thank you.
Went the extra mile, et cetera, et cetera. So all of those things really help. We all know that when we say we're great, people kind of listen to us. But when other people say we're great, especially if we believe in those people, that's really important. So I think you do need other people to advocate you. Ways people now do that are now on LinkedIn. They get testimonials. They get, if you do something well, you ask somebody for a referral. So when you're actually presenting evidence, you go, I'm not just saying, this is not just me, Peter, it's this person, this client and this supplier, they're all saying I'm great as well.
In terms of the actual negotiation then, is it worth practicing, or could you run the risk of maybe over preparing and kind of nearly psyching yourself out when it gets to the actual moment then and kind of floundering under the pressure? Like, what would you recommend?
No, you definitely need to practice.
Be
no,
all of,
nobody practices.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, a lot of bosses, you just go in, they just go, there's just no money right now.
Mm.
And then we all just pause for a second and go, okay. Thanks, bye. And then before we said, what happened there? So you almost need somebody to say, what are you going to do if they say there's no money? What are they going to do if they go absolutely out of the question? You actually need to have answers to go, well, tell me more about that. Why is that the case? So are you saying the whole firm is on a salary freeze? No, I'm not saying that. Okay, well, can we talk about it? But if you haven't had that conversation, you are more likely, because it's a really difficult power dynamic. They almost hold your salary in their hands. So it is very tricky around that.
Yeah. There can be a tendency to use life circumstances, you know, like my rent has gone up, cost of living has increased. Is this a good idea?
Yeah, no, I hate to say it. Nobody cares about that.
Okay.
It sounds terrible. It's not their fault. It's not their fault. I mean, it sounds awful, but they're going, my job as an employer is not to say that because your rent has increased, you need a pay rise. That is generally where companies will give an allowance across the business because of an inflationary allowance that everybody gets a 2% rise. But don't do that. If you come in and you say, I need more money because I want to buy a house, you're really putting your problem onto an employer. That's not. You need more money because you're really good and they don't need to lose you and you're excellent at what you do and you've brought in 2,000 worth of sales, or you've brought in 5 new clients, or you've made efficiencies that have saved the business $500,000, whatever it is. You have to tell them the things you do well, which means if you're not there, they will not be done anymore.
Yeah, and have the proof to back it up. Yeah. What about an ultimatum then? Because you'd often hear, or I've heard colloquially of people, you know, they might be in a current position and they just want to leave, whatever, and they're eyeing things up, and they might go to their boss and say, if I don't get this money, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Is that a good idea?
It can be. So okay. I would say the risk you have here is if you say, if you don't give me this, look, I might have to look around. If your boss then goes, okay, then you're in a bit of trouble, because then you kind of have to look around, because if you don't look around and then you don't move, you're in a really poor position if you ever come back looking for a salary rise again. Says, well, I can't really give you a salary rise because last time you said you were going to leave. So we don't really give salary rises to people who probably are going to leave. And you go, oh, no, I'm not going to leave. Well, that's what you said last
time.
So you have to be very careful. However, it can work, because a lot of people, if you know you're valuable to the organization, and let's just say someone else in your team have already left and two people leaving the same would be very difficult, it could be a good idea.
Yeah.
You just have to be careful about it.
Yeah, weigh up the risks, calculate a risk. What can someone's plan B be if no raise is forthcoming? Like, what would you recommend kind of next steps there?
Lots of people only think of the salary. So they think of, I'm on 41, I want to get to 43. But you have a pension, that's real money. You've got health benefits, or you may not have health benefits, that's real money. So you have to start thinking about things like bonuses or commissions, all of these things that you might have that you could maybe raise from 2% to 3%. Nothing like that feels like the employer is giving away money to you. It just feels like, okay, well, we can look at that. We can give your pension go from 4% to 7%. They don't feel like they're giving you money. When somebody actually raises your salary, they do feel that. So if you're not going to get the salary, you can get it otherwise.
Okay, interesting. Just to go back to that ultimatum issue that we were talking about there, we've had a text in. What drives me mad is often when you ask an employer for more money, they say no. But as soon as you leave, they give you more money. And this texter is saying to never stay in that situation. I've heard of this happening to other people as well, where they've kind of given the ultimatum or threatened, and they've initially said no or whatever, and they've gone away or they're about to go away, and suddenly the money just appears magically, as if by magic.
Yeah, a lot of employers really believe people aren't going to leave.
Mm.
And it always depends. If somebody's been with you for quite a long time, I hate to say it, you're less likely to leave, because you become slightly institutionalized. So maybe employers are going, they're only saying this, they're not going to leave. It's a really bad situation, though, if they're only going to give you a salary when you have got a job offer somewhere else. That is a kind of a challenging situation, because really what they're saying is, we don't value you, but if you're going to go, we'll give you a bit more money, but you need to hang on. But really what they're saying is, we won't give you any more money until you decide to leave again. So it's not a great situation.
Say if someone was self-employed, would you say there's a different approach there? Because obviously they might be dealing with multiple clients. It's a bit more complicated in terms of situation. Is it kind of the same approach, do you reckon? Or is there anything else that they can take on board too?
No, depending on, like, there's lots of people who are kind of contracted out, or they're kind of a temporary worker, or they work in a different way. The same thing is knowing your value, knowing what you are you getting the right amount of money, and whoever the person is who's paying you, being able to understand the relationship you have with that person is really important. Mm. People are more likely, whether they like it or not, to give money to people they like than people they maybe find frustrating or hard to work with.
Yeah. Is visual demeanour really important then as well? Like, if you're in person with someone, I'm sure confidence, and as you, going back to your point of, I've done X, I've done Y, here's all the proof, I'm a great asset, I want to stay, etc., etc. I'm sure that makes a difference as well, as opposed to kind of immediately coming in defensive or on the back foot, maybe.
It does, but I think on top of that, even being able to put in a, make it a bit light, you sometimes forget your employer on the other side might be just as panicked as you about this pay rise and going, I don't know how to work this, I've never done this before. They might be new into having these situations. So we always think the manager knows everything, and they are, they've done 100 of these. Maybe they haven't.
Yeah.
Maybe they haven't been in this role that long. They don't know what to say. And maybe they're a people pleaser and they hate saying no, and they're going, oh my God, I'm going to have to say no because they're not very good and they don't know that and I don't know how to say that, or I'm going to say no because I don't know what else to do. So you have to be able to say, come on, we're just having a chat about this, you know.
Yeah.
And if they go, look, I'm not sure there is, you go, oh look, I'll be back on Friday asking again, and then they're looking at you going, so I'll see you Friday, and you go, so what the employer wants is it to end as quick as possible. That's what most negotiations happen, but which is when you say, can we split the difference, when someone says you split the difference, you should really say no. Because when they say split the difference, what they're saying is, I want this over.
Okay.
So you're kind of in the, so you go, why don't we split the difference of the difference? And they go, what? Well, because you already, I've already agreed to this now, the difference. So a little more. And then they're like, okay, whatever. Right. So though there's little negotiation tips like that. Like when you've finally got what you want, and let's say it's a little less you want, just go, well, look, thank you for offering me 3,000 more, as long as you could maybe throw in a new laptop, or, you know, throw in 4% more in the pension, then I think we've got a deal. So the little nibble afterwards, when the person thinks it's done and they're very relaxed, and you throw in one more thing, it's very hard for them to begin the whole thing again. So these are the kind of little negotiation tips you can do if you practice that, and most people don't do it.
Okay, interesting. Peter Cosgrove, Future of Work expert, thank you so much. Hope everyone listening, it's Thursday, go ask for more money right now.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.